This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Letting God Mold Me, Part 1B.
Look at verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:28 is a very familiar verse. It's one that we as Christians quote often. It says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Now look at what Romans 8:28 is telling us. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God makes sure that anything He allows in your life has a purpose. And He will work it for good. God will make sure that anything that He allows to come into your life will be something that He can work for your good. And if God can't turn it to good, He will not allow it to come into your life. Any of you gone through any situation that was painful in the recent past? Really painful situation? Amen. All right. How many of you wish that thing, whatever it was, had never happened? Amen? Now understand something. If you are a Christian and God allowed you to go through that situation, it was because He knew He could use that situation and turn it to good. Whatever it was. I don't know what the situation was, but guess what? The Word of God tells me that God intends to turn whatever that you think of as negative situation to your good. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Here's the thing that we have to believe about God. If you're going to understand and know that God really will take those seemingly negative circumstances of your life and turn them to good, you have to know this about God. Jeremiah 29, 11. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God says that His plan for your life is not to harm you. It's not to hurt you. But it is to give you hope and a future. You have to know that. You have to have an unshakable conviction about that. So that when you are looking a situation in the face that is painful, that is frustrating, that you can't see how to make your way through, you've got to know that whether you can see it or not, God has already purposed to take that thing and turn it for your good. Yesterday was kind of a difficult day for me. Finally, about 3 o'clock, I finished doing the stuff that I needed to do, walked out the door. And when I walked out the door, let me tell you something, I did not see a single bird, but I knew they had been there. Because from the front of my car to the back of my car, and when I saw that, I went, oh, man, I mean, you know. But then you know what happened? I stopped and I thought about it because I already had this sermon in my mind. Amen? God said that He can make anything work together for good to those who love Him. So instead of getting all upset about the birds, I just laughed. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, maybe He'll send the rain to wash my car today. Praise the Lord. I don't know. But even something as dumb and as silly as that, God says, I'll turn it to good. And because of that, when we run into a situation like that, instead of getting all upset and angry, what good would it have done me to get mad at the birds? Amen? Be driving home all upset, have an accident because I'm thinking about them dumb birds. No, instead of that, go over to James chapter 1. Look at what God says we're supposed to do. James chapter 1, start with verse 2. My brethren, That means us. That means as Christians he's talking to. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you run into various trials, various difficult situations, hard times, what does the Bible say that you are supposed to do about it? MGC? Moan, groan, and complain? What does it say? Count it all joy. The birds camp above your car? Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at what God says. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In how much? In everything, give thanks. In other words, in whatever circumstance you're having to deal with in life, in whatever you're going through, no matter how painful it feels, God never promised that we won't have to deal with pain. Amen? He never promised that he was going to make things easy for us. He never promised that we could make it through life and we would go all around all the situations and circumstances that everybody else has to deal with because we're Christians. God never said that. But what he did say is, we can count it all joy and we can give thanks. In how much? Everything. That means there is no situation that God will allow you to face that he will not turn to good in some way. There's a man named Domingo Pacheco. On May 11th, 1996, he was headed toward the airport. And on the way, he had a flat tire. How many of you have ever had a flat tire out on the highway? Any of you? Is that a fun experience? That's not a fun experience, amen? And think about this. You're on your way to catch a plane. If you don't get there on time, it's going to leave without you. And if he was anything like me, you get the cheap ticket. The cheap ticket is, once you buy it, you can't change it. Not without paying a penalty, amen? So that means if you miss your flight, you lose your money. And there he was on the side of the road, May 11th, 1996, sweating, miserable, talking about, oh, why did this happen to me? And just about that time, his cell phone rang. His mom was on the phone and said, Domingo, where are you? And he told her, you know, I'm on the side of the road changing a flat. And she said, turn on the radio. And he turned on the radio and heard that flight number 592 had crashed into the Everglades. And because he was on the side of the road changing a flat, he wasn't on that plane. Amen? Now think about it. On the side of the road, what are you doing? You're practically getting in God's face. God, why did you let this happen to me? You knew I needed to catch that plane. God, you could have held that flat up until I got to the airport. God, why? 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 And all the while, God is saying, I'll take that flat tire and I'll work it for your good if you'll just trust me. How many of you ever get frustrated and upset about what's happening in your life? Amen. Just like this guy on the side of the road, we get so upset. We spend so much time and energy complaining about what's happening. And guess what? It's totally unnecessary. How many of you know that all your moaning, groaning, and complaining never makes your situation better? Anybody know that? Mm-hmm. It does not make your situation better. In fact, if you moan and groan and complain around somebody else, guess what? It'll make your situation worse because they don't want anything to do with you. Instead of that, what? Why not have the attitude that the Word says we should have? First of all, Lord, I had a flat tire. Lord, I don't know why you let me have this flat tire, but you said I should count it all joy. So instead of MGC, moaning, groaning, and complaining, Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to go through this situation. Can you imagine yourself doing that? Not because you like the flat tire. Not because you think a flat tire is a good thing. But why? Because God's going to turn it to good. It's not because you can see it, but it's because you can trust God. And so what does he say? Give thanks in all circumstances, in all situations. In other words, if you are a Christian, there is nothing that you should allow to faze you. Even the most difficult circumstance, you have the ability to give God praise in the midst of that circumstance, to give him thanks, because God is always on the job for you. 24/7, on the job. Never takes a day off. Never takes a coffee break. Amen. He is always on the job for you. How many of you have ever had to go into the hospital, have an operation of some kind or some kind of procedure? Was that fun? Mm-mm. And when you found out that you were going to have that procedure, how many of you turned and gave praise to God? Not many. Now catch this. We see in the New Testament that one of the things that the devil likes to do is to take Christians at their weakest moment and take the circumstances that are happening in their lives and get them so discouraged, depressed, and frustrated that they can't move and they can't do anything. Any of you ever get to that point? You were so sick, you were so feeling so bad that you were depressed, you were discouraged, you were frustrated about your situation, and you just didn't feel like doing anything at all. Amen? Go over to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 20, or excuse me, chapter 50, verse 20. In Genesis chapter 20, or in Genesis chapter 50, all things work together. Amen. In Genesis chapter 50, it's telling the story of Joseph. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers and trying to be a godly and righteous man and resisting the advances of Potiphar's wife. He had gotten thrown into prison because he wouldn't give in to her. Spent years in jail for nothing that he had done. And through that, God elevated him to become the second most powerful man in the whole nation of Egypt. Now, is that a Romans 8:28 deal? Amen. Amen. And then one day, there was famine in the land, and his brothers came. The brothers that had tied him up, thrown him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. Those same ones. They came looking for food. And Joseph is the one they have to deal with. Now, can you imagine when they realized who he was? Can you imagine how they felt? This is the one that we sold. Look at what Joseph's attitude. Was he vindictive? Did he say, I got you now? Give you back for what you did to me. Look at what he said. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me. And they did, amen? But what did Joseph know? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah. Do you understand Joseph's perspective on the situation? Joseph knew the lesson that we're talking about today. God was with him in any circumstance he went through. And as he was going down into the pit, I mean literally into the pit, in order to be sold into slavery, he knew God was with him. God got him out of the pit, put him into the house of Potiphar, the Egyptian, and his wife caused him to be thrown into prison. Guess what? God was with him in prison. Amen? And because of him being in that prison, and because God allowed him to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, he was taken out of the prison, elevated to the topmost part in the land behind Pharaoh. And he could look back on that whole situation and say, I see the hand of God. God allowed me to go through the most difficult situation that I could have imagined. But he said he'd turn it to good. And so, brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Understand this. When you go through situations in your life, the devil means it for evil. Amen? If he can get you sick, he'll get you sick. For what reason? For evil. If he can get you poor, he'll get you poor. If he can get you to mess up your relationship, your marriage, your children, he'll get you to do that. Amen? Why? Because he hates you. And so he's on the job 24/7. The Bible says that he is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But guess what? Everything he means for evil, God means it for good. In other words, even if the devil is behind what's going on in your life, how many of you have ever had some situation go on where you had somebody in your life that was being contrary, uncooperative, frustrating you all to no end, and you looked at that person and say, the devil is in you? Any of you ever had that? No, I shouldn't have you put your hands up because some of you kind of looking around at the people you're with, you know. Amen. Amen. Catch it. Maybe it's true. The devil will use anything he can use. He'll use your husband. Do you know that? He'll use your wife. He'll use your children to get at you, to try to pull you down. Amen? But let me tell you the other side of the story. You've had people that the devil has used against you in your life. Anybody know that? You've had people the devil has used against you in your life? Amen? Now maybe what you don't know is there have been times when the devil has used you in somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There have been some times when you thought you were doing what you needed to do, and behind it the whole time, the devil was using you. But guess what? If you're a Christian, it doesn't matter. Because if God allows something to go on in your life, it's because he knows he can take what the devil meant for evil and turn it to good. So that person gets up in your face and you know the devil is in them. The devil is behind what they're saying and behind what they're doing, or they wouldn't act that way. Guess what? You don't have to get on them. You can look at them and say, praise God. Can you imagine that the next time that person gets in your face and, you know, they're doing what they usually do that makes you so angry and frustrated, instead of getting mad, you just turn to them and say, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord. I mean, you know, you do that, they'd probably fall out. They wouldn't know what to do. Praise the Lord. But what are you saying? I don't like it. This is not comfortable for me. It may be painful for me to go through, but I still know I have an unshakable conviction that God is going to use this situation. He's going to turn it from what the devil means for evil to good. And when you know that, you can rejoice. You can have an attitude that does not allow you to be pulled down into the dirt. Catch it. If you go to the hospital, you give thanks and praise to God. Not because you're sick. God is not the author of sickness. Amen? Not for his people. God didn't put that on you. But guess what? He can use it. He can turn it to good. Go over to John chapter 9. Look at verses 1 through 3. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now catch it. Here was a tragedy in this man's life. He was born blind. And the disciples had a question about this. Look, I mean, now, somebody had to do something to cause that to happen. So Lord, was it himself? Well, he wasn't even born. So was it his parents? Was it because they sinned that he was born blind? Jesus said it was neither one of those things. Didn't have anything to do with anything they did. God allowed that situation so that the works of God might be manifest, might be shown in this man's life. Look down at verse 6. John 9:6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And guess what happened to that man? His eyes were opened. Amen? Now catch it. Look at what's going on here. This looked like a tragedy in this man's life. But God said, what the devil meant for evil, I'll turn it to good. And so, where did the glory go? Glory went to God, amen? Not because the man was blind, but because God showed his power and healed him. Understand this. You got something going on in your life. You may be sick. You may be ill. You may be going through financial strain and stress. You may have a circumstance happening in your family that you don't know how to deal with. All of that mess is going on in your life. And you can't see your way through it. You don't understand it. Why is this happening to me? God is ready to take that thing and turn it for good. Not because the thing in itself is good, but why? Because God can fix it. Because God will show his power as he pulls back together what the devil tried to break. So, when you're going through something, what's the word say? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Not because you like it. You don't have to like it. Amen? Not because you can see what kind of good God's going to bring out of it. You don't have to be able to see it. You don't have any way of knowing as you're there on the side of the road fixing that flat tire that God just saved your life. You know, when I was 16 years old, I finally got to drive my mother's car. Just got my license. And I was proud. This, if anybody you remember, I think this was like a big old Chevy Impala. Remember those things? They even had them big fins and stuff. And I remember I was out tooling around on the highway, you know, just enjoying my freedom. And it was raining that day. It started raining. And I was whizzing along, and I was going toward an underpass. And I looked on the side of that underpass, and I saw a police car sitting under that underpass, waiting for people like me to come speeding by. And so, 16-year-old, just started driving. You know what I did? I jammed on the brakes. On a rain slick highway, I jammed on the brakes. You know what happened? I lost total control of that car. That car took off on its own. And guess where it was headed? Right to the police car. It's bad enough to get a ticket for speeding, but when you run into him, oh man. And I did hit him. Now let me tell you something. I remember this. I was headed straight toward that car. I was going to ram into him. But somehow or another, the way it ended up, I went right along the side of the car. It damaged the door handle on the passenger side on my car. There was no damage to the police car. And I didn't even get a ticket. Now, let me just tell you something. I know where that car was going. And will y'all forgive me for this? I'm up front, I'm going to ask you to forgive you. Forgive me, okay? See, I believe that the devil was looking at me and saying, I know this is going to be a powerful preacher for God, so let me get rid of him right now. Forgive me for that. Amen. And I believe that God had a couple of big angels standing between me and that police car. Now see, catch what God did. He didn't allow me to hit that car the way I was going, the way I should have hit it. Amen? Yeah. What he did allow, he didn't even allow any damage to the police car so that the policeman didn't even give me a ticket. Because you know what I believe? this is not even in the message, but the way he was sitting there, his car was a little bit out on the road, and I believe he realized that he was wrong, and because of that, he didn't give me a ticket. All right? But you know what God did? He allowed me to damage my mother's car. Now, should I cry about that? I probably did at the time when I had to go home and show it to my mom, amen? But catch this. He allowed enough damage to take place to teach me a lesson. Never again did I get in that kind of situation. Never again did I go speeding down the road when it just started raining and the highway was slick. Never again when I saw a police car did I jam on the brakes and hope that that car was going to keep going in a straight line. In other words, God did just enough to not only keep me out of trouble then, but keep me out of trouble later on in my life. What did he do? He brought good out of what the devil meant for evil. Do you understand? Every one of you is facing some kind of difficulty in your life today. I know it. Even the young ones here, you're facing difficulties in your life today. Amen? I should say, even the young ones here, we're facing difficulties in our lives today. Amen? Amen. But the promise that God makes is that if we will trust Him, He will take everything that the devil intends for our evil and turn it to good. Whatever you're dealing with in your life today, God wants to turn it to good. Here's our final scripture for the day. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Look at what God is doing right now. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking for ways to show himself strong in your behalf. God is looking for ways to take the situation that you find yourself in right now and intervene in that situation in such a way that he turns it from bad to good. And all he asks of you is that you Matthew 6:33 it. Matthew 6:33. What is it? But seek ye when? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what'll happen? All these things will be added to you. If you will seek first the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, seek the godliness of God, then God will intervene in your circumstances and turn what the devil meant from evil to good.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's C-O-V-C-O-M-M church.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.